It's been a rough week for people trying to hold on to Nintendo items. A package of rare games was lost in the mail, and a Switch was lost from a distributor. Tonight is February 19th, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Aki Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
People can't actually believe it. I started the show on time. Like, people are now so used to showing up like 5-10 minutes late and they're still like there before the show. No. No. Plot twist. I'm already started. And it's like 8:02. Go me. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an on-time edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you are listening on the site, you can check in and get some points on the leaderboard. Just like Pod Culture and ActDev, they checked in at some point during the beginning of the show. They were actually got here on time. They are here on time more often than I am, and so are all the other people that checked in. Thank you. Or if you're listening on the podcast feed, there will be a passphrase somewhere in the episode. You can put that in and get the exact same amount of points and be just as on time as me. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. The Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can comment on the episode over at VogNetwork.com. So before I get into the kind of the news stories, I did want to kind of mention it just in case you are listening live have not heard about the massive game sale going on. And hey, Raginator, I'm leading off about a game sale. I hope you're listening, Raginator. I'm leading off about a game sale. It's not really a game sale. It's more it's a bundle. It's the Humble Bundle. We haven't talked about Humble Bundle a lot lately, mainly because now it's just kind of a thing. Whereas when they first started, it was like this new revolutionary thing, and oh my god. But now they have, you know, weekly bundles and monthly bundles and this bundle and a monthly subscription and a loot crate type bundle and you know, bundles of bundles. And that's, yeah. There's so many bundles out there. It's really hard to get a blip on the radar. In fact, I haven't even bought that many bundles recently. I looked at my purchase history recently, and it's like, a lot of Kickstarter projects will actually use Humble Bundle to distribute their stuff. Like all the Video Games Live Kickstarters are actually distributed through Humble Bundle. So like that's most of my purchases. I did get the Sierra Bundle a little bit ago, though. But this week was the Humble Freedom Bundle. So what this was is Humble Freedom Bundle. It was a bunch of games that you had to pay at least $30 for, which is a little bit different. It's, you know, it's pay what you want, but you got to start at $30, which is kind of new for Humble Bundle. Sometimes they'll say it has to be like a $1 minimum or $5 minimum or whatever. But the three charities that it can benefit are the American Civil Liberties Union, the International Rescue Committee, and Doctors Without Borders. And that's, you can't say go to the developers or go to Humble, make it a Humble tip or something, but you can still use the sliders to say where things should go. There are reasons for this. I don't want to get into them. This is a 1 hour where I hope we don't get into those kind of conversations, at least for the right now. But if you don't philosophically agree with maybe with like what one or two of these organizations do, but you like the third one, you can actually make all your money go to that third one. And it's perfectly okay. This bundle, it was $30 to get all the games. The Humble Bundle was going to match the first $300,000, which I think they got in like an hour. as of right now, over $6 million have been raised. And you have until 2 p.m. Tomorrow, Monday, 2 p.m. I think Eastern, to get in on this bundle. So $30 to get, like, there's like 30 games in it, or 35 or 40 or something like that. But it's like stuff like The Witness, which is $30 on its own on the Steam store. Stardew Valley, which was the, you know, the big indie darling hit of last year. Super Meat Boy, if you haven't gotten it from any other bundle. Guacamelee, if you haven't gotten it from any other bundle. 2064 Read Only Memories, which is something we did a video on from MAGFest. Rob actually interviewed the people that worked on that, so that's in the bundle. Ellipsis, which I actually did a video interview with at MomoCon, it's in the bundle. It also recently released. And a whole bunch of other, like VVVVV's in there, Stanley Parable's in there, a whole bunch of, like, Mini Metro is in there, which is a fascinating puzzle game about public transit. And I live in Atlanta, so I don't know what public transit's even like, but a whole bunch of other games and some audiobooks, some books, Double Fine Adventure, the documentary movie is a part of it. They just keep adding stuff to it. So if you missed out, or if you still have time, you have like 18 hours or something to get it now. But it's just the games alone, like three or four, I think it's like $600 worth of games. And you can pay $30 for it. You can pay more if you want. And like I said, there are sliders. So you can actually like denote, like if you don't want to donate to one or two of the charities, you can send it all to the third one, or whatever you want to do. So I think it's really awesome. It's really a good cause for a lot of these. So get on it if you have the money. A lot of people in chat are saying they don't have the money to do it, and it's that's totally fine. But I just want to let people know that this existed. It dropped last Monday. It ends this coming Monday, so I didn't get to talk about it last week. Speaking of things that haven't sold out yet, I don't think the E3 consumer passes have sold out yet, which has surprised the hell out of me. I say I don't think because they haven't said that the consumer passes have sold out. Last week we talked about E3 putting 15,000 consumer passes on sale for $150 for the first 1,000 and $250 for the next 14,000. But I think the way that you get them is you register as a regular attendee. So they don't actually have like a counter. And people are apparently saying they can still, you know, pay them or something. I don't know. But it took a few days, which shocked me. I had said 10 minutes. And I had said 10 minutes because the site would go down. The site would crash. Else it would take 5 minutes. And apparently it took days. And I don't know if it was a combination of, such short notice that people, you know, because like when people want to go to PAX, they save up and they know that, you know, hey, PAX is just going to tweet one day, hey, badges are on sale. And then they're gone in 15 minutes. And they prepare for it. This was a E3 announced it. And then 4 days later, they went on sale. And a lot of people can't work that up. And then they've got to figure out, okay, I need to also budget for hotel and air and transportation and all this stuff. And that might have been part of it where people are, you know, they just couldn't budget it in 4 days. But I would not be surprised if by now, like we're now like 6 days from when they went on sale. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not all sold out. E3 has not made a official announcement that they're no longer on sale. They stopped retweeting people that were very excited that they got their consumer pass. But and it's SJ100 Matt even says apparently the site didn't even crash either. Well, you know, hey, good for them. PAX can learn a thing or two from that. I was kind of surprised by that. But I also think, and kind of echoing what I said last week, I think a lot of people when they think of the E3 experience, they think of what they've heard on websites or read in magazines where it's the media access. And, you know, even people on Twitter were saying, hey, you know, how do I get a ticket to the Xbox press conference? Well, they don't sell tickets to that. And this doesn't get you into that. In fact, that's 2 days before your ticket even gets used because it's off site on Sunday at like 2 in the afternoon. Really early, which is kind of funny because a lot of press people, like, they fly in Sunday afternoon so they can make the Sunday evening press conferences, and now they've got to, like, rebook to get there by Sunday at 2. And it's always Microsoft is always the one that pushes it out. And Dungeon Bus says, I haven't heard anything about scalpers either, or at least a huge related outcry. And I think part of that also, it's hard to scalp these, mainly because you actually, like, I started, and it's the exact same attendee form I've used before. I didn't actually go through the whole thing because I'm not registering and I don't want to take a spot or anything. But you actually have to, like, provide your address and your name, and then they mail you the badge with your name on it. See, that's the thing. Like, PAX doesn't put your name on the badges, so it's easy to transfer them. These are non-transferable. You can't transfer an E3 badge, period. Like, even I couldn't. And if I was, you know, something happened and I couldn't go to E3, oh, well, you know, my badge just would never get picked up. You know, I that's why I don't think scalpers are really a thing, because you really can't scalp these tickets. Because they would also have to sell, like, a fake ID that has their name. And they check IDs at the door. I actually got stopped and had to, you know, they had to pull me aside because my badge has my real name and my shirt had my fake name. And they kind of thought my ID was fake because they thought that I had, you know, taken somebody else's badge, because the name on my shirt says Bobby Blackwolf and the name on the badge is my actual legal name that's on my ID. And they checked that going into the door. And this was like the last day of the show, and I've got an appointment and I'm being held by security for, I mean, it was about 3 minutes. It wasn't that long, but I, you know, they check, because that's what some people will do is, you know, in the past people would try this, you know, people who want to get into E3 will hang out outside the Los Angeles Convention Center and ask people, hey, if you're leaving, can I have your badge? Then they put the badge around their neck and try to walk in. Dark Tetsuya says, Expo passes are gone, but it still sounds like some of the others are still available, unless I'm looking at the wrong section. I'm pretty sure the full exhibits only, $1,500 passes, I'm sure are still available. And I'm sure that, I think exhibitor registration hasn't even opened yet. So there's still ways people, you know, the industry can still get in. Okay, but he says, early bird passes are sold out. And Dungeon Bus says, I had to confirm, you know, driver's ID and everything. Yeah, I have to, you know, I bring driver's license and, you know, business card. I have to bring a business card, and it has to match the business card I sent them when I applied. So it's hard to scalp E3 tickets. That's what I'm trying to say. Raginator says, the thing is, E3 is or was like drinking. If you weren't allowed to partake in it, it was exciting and you wanted to do it. But once you were allowed to do it, people's reactions were more or less, who cares? I think part of that also because E3 is a little different now. Dungeon Buster does say, someone asked for my ID as well when me and my brother were leaving E3, offered to pay for it, but I was like, my name's on it. Congrats to those who got in. If anybody who is listening to this did get a consumer pass to E3 and have never been to E3 before, I would love to hear your take. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get what you're looking for out of it. I really do. Because I do have lots of great memories of E3, and if somebody else can experience those same great memories that I do just today, that's great. SJ100 Matt says, I'm surprised they don't ask for a printout of your Alexa score. You laugh, but I can tell you stories of other people who are, or media, who get rejected by media. This is probably something that's not going to happen because of these consumer passes now. But I know people, they were rejected as media, but what they do is they show up anyway. Because you can register on site as media. This is something they don't tell you. You can register on site, and you can, if you bring like enough paperwork, including a printout of your Alexa score if you really want to, but you can bring, you know, paperwork, you know, official looking stationery, information about you, and you show up, they'll let you in as press. I have known people who have flown out from the East Coast. They got rejected as media initially, flown out, shown up at the Los Angeles Convention, shown up at media registration, handed all their information, said, we need to get a media badge, and they have never been turned away. Dungeon Bus says, yes, congrats to those who get to go, especially if it's your first time. If anything, it's a neat experience. It is. It is a very, like, just the booths alone, just walking around the booths alone. Because, like I said, like the difference, like PAX, if you go to PAX or something like that, you know, when you're in the exhibit hall, all the lights are on. And, you know, people have booths and stuff. At E3, they turn all the lights off because all the booths provide their own lighting. And they provide their own sound. It's loud. It's something else. And it's kind of funny because in my day job, there's a huge conference in San Francisco. And like 120,000 people go to this conference. And I've gone to this conference as well myself. And all my coworkers tried to prepare me. And they're like, you're not going to believe this. You know, it's going to blow you away, this conference, this tech conference. It's going to blow you away. You're going to do nothing like it. And I go there, and I'm like, this is nothing. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, because I've gone to E3 a lot. And they're like, oh, yeah, you, this is nothing for you. William Murderface asks, do they also require a blood sample, some eye of newt, and a baby sacrifice? Maybe the baby sacrifice. The others, they don't. So anyway, moving on, it's been a bad week for people who like Nintendo, or a good week for some people. Like one story, it's a good kind of, I don't know. It's a bad week for holding on to things that are Nintendo related. Let's put it that way. Let's talk about the stuff about the games that are coming out soon. So a Nintendo Switch video made it on the internet. It was awesome. Kotaku has reported that on Thursday, a NeoGAF user posted videos from a Nintendo Switch that he has said he obtained 2 weeks early from an unnamed store. So essentially what happened is this NeoGAF user posted a video. He got the Nintendo Switch early. Now, he didn't get any games with it, and he didn't try connecting online because he said he didn't want to get the retailer in trouble. But he did post a video of like the UIs and the setup procedures and basically how you set it up as a tablet and then later you hook it up to a TV. He couldn't go into like the eShop, but it is called the eShop. We did learn that purchases that you make on the Nintendo Switch are tied to your account and not the system, which means, hey, Nintendo, welcome to 2007. You're now doing what Xbox Live and PlayStation Network have been doing since then. Congratulations. But he wasn't able to show much more. He showed like some of the menus and some of the warnings, but he didn't connect it to his network, and he didn't have any games. So that's all he did. But then it turned out he sent it back to Nintendo because Nintendo said it was stolen by employees of a U.S. distributor. The GAF user Hip Hop the Robot wrote on NeoGAF that he shipped a Switch back to Nintendo 2 days after unboxing the system and posting videos of its user interface in action. He was vague about the details, and at first, other GAF's posters speculated that Nintendo had simply bullied him into returning a system that he'd obtained because of a retailer's mistake, but in subsequent posts, he made it clear that the system was stolen. He said, quote, I understand why they want it back, and it sounds like that Switch might have been obtained in not the most legalist of ways before I received it, so them wanting it back is within their rights, unquote. And this is what he said to Kotaku in a direct message. He said he didn't know the Switch had been stolen until after he made the videos, and that when he found out he'd gotten it through illicit means, he sent it back to Nintendo. In a statement to IGN, Nintendo says, quote, earlier this week, individuals claimed to prematurely purchase a small number of Nintendo Switch systems from an unspecified retailer. Nintendo has determined these units were stolen in an isolated incident by employees of a U.S. distributor, with one system being illegally resold. The individuals involved have been identified, terminated from their place of employment, and are under investigation by local law enforcement or authorities on criminal charges, unquote. So, and I love this. So this is from Kotaku. I wish I could come up with this. In other news, the Switch comes out in 13 days, and we still don't know if it'll launch with a virtual console. Nintendo, come on. Your console, it's already been manufactured. The UI already exists. Answer some damn questions about it. Like, let me know if I can go buy eShop cards now and have it work on the Switch. At least tell me that. At least tell me that. Because I want to buy I Am Setsuna. But and it's going to be a launch title on the eShop on the Switch. And because I haven't bought it yet. I haven't played it yet. And I've learned from all these stupid hacks not to link a credit card or a PayPal account to these game accounts because they'll get compromised. So I buy the cards. I buy the wallet cards, and my grocery store carries all of them. It carries, you know, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo. It carries Steam gift card, Steam cards. So my Steam wallet is now from there. So I want to know if I can just go ahead and add to my eShop wallet now, so that night I'm ready to spend what, like $30 or whatever that I am Setsuna is going to cost. At least answer that. They're not even answering that. And the eShop card's like, this only works on the Wii U and 3DS. It does not work on anything else. I'm like, great. Well, you've got a new console coming out in 13 days. Let me know if I can, like, buy this stuff. Let me know if I can give you money now. SJ Wonderman asked me if I'm getting it at my Best Buy store like usual, if I'm getting it delivered. If you're getting it in the store, then maybe they'll have the cards on hand. Yes, I am. I pre-ordered it on the Best Buy website, but said I'm going to pick it up at the Best Buy store that's near me at a midnight launch. So, yes. So I'm going to be standing in line to get it, and I'm going to be trying to get other accessories and other games with it. I only pre-ordered the console, and I'll deal with the games later. Here's the other thing about this. Apparently, allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly, because I can't back this up. I have seen a screenshot of this. But I can't confirm it. So this same user went on Reddit earlier this week and went into the game sale subreddit and posted that he had gotten a Switch early, but he really needs the money and he wants to flip it. And he posted pictures of the Switch in the box. And then he put his Reddit username, which is the same as his NeoGAF username with a number at the end of it. Now, that he's deleted his Reddit account. I could not find the post in the game sale subreddit, but that adds a little bit of a wrinkle. Breakman even says, is this guy stupid? I don't know. But before he posted the videos, he posted on Reddit saying, I got a Switch, but I really need money more than I need a Switch, so I'm willing to flip it. PayPal me, you know, give me a best offer. So I wonder if he knew it, if he knew what he was doing. Dungeon says, yeah, I bought a Switch, but I really need the money, so I need to sell it. Please help. And ActF says he definitely knew. So I think there's more to this story. There's more to the story. And I don't know if we'll ever find out, but Nintendo apparently got their Switch back. I don't know if he got his money refunded, because who knows if he actually paid money for it, because if he really needed the money, he wouldn't have pre-ordered a Switch. So I can't, I saw a screen, if you want to know, there's in the Kotaku thread, and especially if you're listening on the podcast, you can go to thevognetwork.com, look in the episode page. I'll link to the Kotaku thread post, and it's in the comments, is a screenshot from the game sale subreddit from the same user saying he got a Switch he really needs the money, so he wants to flip it. Dark Tetsuya says, I heard there were more systems out there, but I really only heard about this one. And the thing about it is, it doesn't matter if you get it early, because you can't do anything with it, because you can't connect to Nintendo Network yet. I don't even think the press units are out yet, so they haven't turned that on, which means you can't update the software, which means you can't access the eShop. It doesn't come with a game. There's no pack-in game. So literally, all you can do is play around with the menus. That's it. Nothing more. It's a game console with no games. Congratulations to those of you who got it early. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Hydrogen. Speaking of Nintendo things getting lost or stolen, or we don't know, there's a conservation effort going around to try to preserve old video games, because hardware eventually fails, and so we kind of want backups, and there's not a very good backup of a lot of Super Nintendo games out there. But there's somebody here in the United States that's trying to change that. His name is, I think it's Byu. It's B-Y-U-U. So is it pronounced Byu? He's a revered Super Nintendo emulator developer and game archivist. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to do an accurate archive of every Super Nintendo game made. Because a lot of times you're going to get, you know, a lot of ROMs that are out there, if you do have them, have been cracked, or, you know, people who dumped the ROMs originally added their name to it, you know, added intros and, you know, cheats and stuff. So there's no real accurate ROM dump. And, you know, Bu actually wants to get authentic dumps from the actual cartridge. What he's trying to do, his goal is to digitally preserve all games released for the Super Nintendo regardless of region. So what he already done, he purchased all 725 Super Nintendo games sold in the USA, cost him over $10,000. After preserving that, he sold the actual cartridges and used the proceeds plus an additional $10,000 of his own money to purchase all 1,450 games sold in Japan. So his last step is to archive all the games from PAL regions, which is Asia, Africa, Europe, South America, and Oceania, which includes Atlantis or something, I'm sure. But he was low on money from buying so many other games. So what he did is he worked with a European collector who goes by the name Smart Human. He's smart. He was going to send 100 games at a time. And so he was going to send 100 games from Europe over to where Bu is, I think, in Ohio. Bu was going to archive them, put them through all of his custom machine, and then he was going to send them back and then get the next 100. So the first shipment went fine. The process took 10 days. So he got 100 games, spent 10 days archiving them, and sent them back. Or actually, the 10 days was actually how long it took the package to get to him. That was verified by Kotaku, who I'm also reading this from. Tonight's Kotaku night. The second shipment of 100 games, though, we think it's gone. On January 5th, a package containing 100 games were sent to me in a dump. This is a post from Bu. It says the United States Postal Service has either stolen or lost this package, most likely the former. Unquote. So he did everything he could to try to locate the package, from calling USPS and visiting his local post office in Ohio, and reaching out to friends and social media contacts in Jersey City, in New Jersey, where the package suddenly stopped. He was tracking it, and then it just stopped. The package contained 100 games. The total value of the PAL cartridges is somewhere in the neighborhood of $7,500 to $10,000, in part because PAL games are the most valuable in all the regions. The most costly among them were Castlevania IV, Castlevania Vampire's Kiss, First Samurai, The Fireman, Demon's Crest, Mega Man 7, Mega Man X, Mega Man X2, Mega Man X3, Ninja Warriors, and Incantation. Bu says, quote, "Perhaps someone will catch them going up on eBay or popping up in a local New Jersey used game store. You never know," unquote. USPS obviously haven't really commented. They did reach out to him, but he did actually wind up getting the label. And USPS has basically said, yeah, the machine ate it. And they sent him back the packaging label that was on the box and a letter saying, "I'm sorry." The bad thing here is there was some mistreatment. They could have done some better things. And hindsight is 20/20 on this. Smart Human probably could have done a little more to try to make sure the package was end up safe. They were not able to actually insure the package for the full value. So basically, there is insurance money that they can pay, but it doesn't cover the entire cost. And he probably, I don't know how he packed it. He probably could have done a better job packing it. I don't know. Bu says, quote, "Obviously, it should have been insured for the full value, but please understand that hindsight is 20/20. The sender chose the insurance amount and had no reason to suspect the package would be lost and that we would be given no help on the matter. It's not unreasonable to believe a mail carrier would try to avoid the need to pay out 1,000 euros worth of insurance by not losing said package," unquote. So he's offering a cash bounty to anyone who locates the package, but he actually says, unfortunately, and this is the sad part, if it does turn up, this project's over. He says he's not going to put any more games at risk or any other people's hard-earned collections on the line. He said, quote, it was a terrible mistake to trust the mail system. I'm not going to risk anyone else's games like that again, unquote. He has put up, I think it was a Patreon, to try to get people to donate in order to repay Smart Human, you know, get him money, which is not going to, you know, return the fact that these are rare games, so it's going to be really hard to find them other than these. But if you're in New Jersey, keep a lookout. Or New York, keep a lookout for some of these games. And there's been some, you know, some people have asked, you know, like, well, you know, how did they know it was in there? Because this came from overseas, there's probably a customs list that came with it that actually listed exactly what was in the box. And unfortunately, you know, the sad thing is, you know, the idea, the phrase going postal is because... It is because of, you know, the U.S. Postal Service and unfortunately some of their workers hate their jobs so much and they snap. Now, I'm not saying that anybody snapped here, but I am saying that, you know, there's a chance that somebody just doesn't like their job and saw this as an opportunity to get something good out of their job. And so it might be in, you know, they may have it in their basement or something. Guy Judo says, I've only had one package screwed up from USPS, and that was like years ago. They get better and better every year. And also, to be fair, UPS and FedEx also have their oopsie moments. Because we have shipped, like at my last job, we shipped a server, or maybe two, I think it was two jobs ago, actually. We shipped a server. We built a server, like big, huge tower server, and shipped it, and we packed it up with bubble wrap and stuff, and I think we shipped it UPS, and it was destroyed on the way there. And then they tried to blame us for the packaging. And it happens, unfortunately. Unless you can just deliver it yourself. And even then, if you check it on the airline, it could get damaged there and get lost there. So unless you're like actually going to like carry it with you on the plane, then you know, you run this risk. Some people have also asked why Bew didn't fly over or didn't send his archiving equipment. And he said, because it wouldn't actually hold up in transport. Cause he knew that it wouldn't survive in the mail. He said it's custom built and everything. And why he didn't fly over with it was for the same thing. It's really not portable. It's actually like in his house and he couldn't afford to just fly out to Europe to archive all these games, and spend all that time out there and be put up in a hotel and stuff like that. So it's a shame that this happened. You know, hey, I'd love to report later that the games were found and, you know, tampering with mail like this is a felony and that there's somebody charged with it, but most likely we won't hear about it. Dunyabus says, I still remember a story a while ago about a USPS guy that's been stealing mail for years. His house was full of stolen packages and letters when he was finally busted. Guy Judo says, I found that it takes too much time to treat every package like it's a newborn baby. They got to move fast, so package stuff good. Also, there's like, you know, machines and stuff. Like if you got to realize, like in an envelope, like a regular envelope, only put paper in it. Don't put anything else in it because it goes through rollers. And so it'll flatten or smoosh whatever that's in it. It really is about, you know, partly about packaging it well. But even if you package it well, sometimes things happen. And that's a sad fact of just any kind of shipping. Anytime something's out of your control, even if it's, you know, checked luggage, things can happen to it. SJ1R Matt says, portal technology is the best way to transport packages. I agree. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls about anything going on in that you want to talk about in the gaming industry. You can talk about... If you've had Nintendo stuff not stolen, how about that? Even though I think like are they not making the NES Classic Mini or the Wii U anymore? I think like they're stopping everything. But yeah, so you can call in and talk about any of that or really anything. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
It's me, Mario. Not really. Obi-Wan Jabroni instead. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com. Sorry for the terrible impression, by the way, Charles Martinet. I tried.
That's the bumper that's actually been supposed to play for like the past like four shows, but I always skip the music break, and so you never get to hear it. So that was Obi-Wan Jabroni. I think we were like talking about the Switch or something, and so I put it in there, and it's still been in there. And since we're still talking about Nintendo, I guess it fits. If you want to leave a bumper, it's 2017, new year. You can new you, leave a new bumper. All you got to do is send me a voicemail to our toll-free number, or you can send an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. But I am going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, or that toll-free number is 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free in North America. We can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. And I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about this as well while we're waiting for calls, if anybody's going to call in. Over the music break, I actually played something from somebody who's been on the show before, Ken Allen. And it was using the Roland MT-32, which was a sound device that we would that was kind of like – it was the Sound Blaster or the Ad-Lib, but actually like sounding more real. Which it doesn't sound that real today because we're so used to what we get now. But, you know, back in the days when we didn't have that many CD games, that was the only way to get, you know, really like studio quality sound, because it was basically a MIDI, like actual good MIDI and not the MIDI that you would get in an Ad-Lib or something like that. And I played something like that, and I actually mentioned, because Dungeon Buster talked about how he wanted a Roland MT-32 as a kid. They were very expensive. I wanted one as a kid as well. And it was usually be the only thing on my Christmas list every single year. I'd be like, don't give me anything else. I just want this. And my parents looked at it and they looked at the price, and I think it was like, what, $500, $600 or something like that? I don't know. And they're like, why would we spend this much money on something that makes music come out of the computer when we can spend $100 on this Sound Blaster? Here, have a Sound Blaster. It's just like the thing you want. I'm like, no, it's not. They're like, yes, it is. So I actually wound up buying one on eBay like 10, 12, 13 years ago, something like that, for like $75. And then I was actually, the harder part was finding the ISA board, which not PCI, but ISA, ISA, that you can actually put into a computer to actually talk to the Roland MT-32. So I actually finally found that I had to like go to like some Roland MT-32 fan site and buy it from somebody there, because you'd never find these on eBay or anything like that. And then I built a retro computer, kind of, which I still have. It's not plugged in right now, which is probably a good thing. That way, you know, I'm not like using the hard drive, or it's not going to get shocked by anything. But it's basically, it's a Pentium 166. With the Roland MT-32 hooked up to it, and a Gravis ultrasound, the classic Gravis ultrasound, and I've got MS-DOS 622 running on it, and all it does is play like the old PC demos. We're talking like Future Crew and the PC demos of the early 90s that I kind of grew up on in high school and college. I know I'm dating myself here, or old Sierra games, or games that use the Roland MT-32 for sound. And that's my classic box. And, it's, so I sometimes do go back through and I'm like, I'm going to play Police Quest 2 with its amazing EGA graphics, but it sounds really good. So that was the conversation that some of us were having in chat, and they were asking like, how big's your hard drive? The hard drive that's in this thing is a good size. The only thing that's more modern in it, which is kind of funny to say now because it's not really modern, is that it does have like a 24-speed CD-ROM drive, which is faster than anything that you can have on an MS-DOS machine. So it's really fast reading CDs. But I do have a network card in it, and I do have Windows for Workgroups 3.1.1 installed on it, which is how, and believe it or not, Windows for Workgroups 3.1.1 can still see shared network drives from like Windows 7. So if I need to like get something from the internet, I can do it on my main machine, and as long as the drive shared, Windows for Workgroups 3.1.1 can see it. So that way, I'm not like trying to like move a floppy over, or you know, burn a CD. Originally, I was like burning CDs and then putting them in there to get stuff over. But I can just like copy things over the network. Breakman asked, "Does the internet laugh at you when you try to access web pages?" I think so. I never installed Netscape because it's like you got to go find like Netscape Navigator 1.0. But I can Telnet to things if I really wanted to. Not SSH, but I can Telnet. But basically, I just use it to transfer files. And hey, with the Abandonware sites out there, I can get a lot of stuff. The only downside is like if I get something on Steam, like that's Humble Sierra bundle I was talking about earlier, that's all Steam code, so those don't transfer over. So they bring up DOSBox, and there's a way to get the Roland MT32 working through DOSBox, but it's not like running it on the original hardware. Wow, so nobody wanted to call in because you all wanted to hear about my old computer thing. Remember, I've actually considered taking it to this setup to the Retro Computer Festival that I've done the video from that's on our VOG Network YouTube. Considered actually taking it there. What's funny, though, is it's just a little bit too new for them. Like, because I asked, and they're like, we're looking for stuff from the 80s or earlier, and you're talking like mid-90s, and that's a little bit too recent for us right now. Dunderbus says, good old games does a good job with their DOSBox configs for the most part, but yeah, there's something different about using authentic hardware for some of the games. And to be fair, GOG, if I got things off of GOG, they're DRM-free, so they work outside of GOG, and then I can transfer them over, theoretically. Breakman, they brought up zip disks. I still have zip disks around, and I think my zip drive's still in a box. I've been going through a lot of my old cables. I think I was talking about this last week. And, you know, like I've got RS-232 cables, and it's basically I'm keeping like a set of things for this classic machine if I ever need it, this classic DOS machine. And I think I've got a zip drive somewhere. SJ Wonder Matt says, I remember going to the classic computer room at MAGFest, and he was pointing everything, said, that's in my closet, and so is that, and so is that. Yeah, I had a lot of that. I have a lot of that stuff. And I'm thinking about getting rid of some of the duplicates. And yes, Akuma JP says, oh, the blue zip drive. Yeah, I think iOmega did the zip drive. Zip disks. And it was blue. I remember that. And those held, get this, guys, those held 100 megs. Now, you got to realize, we're still in the era of floppy disks, you know, which was, what, 3 megs or something on a floppy disk? And we got 100 megs on these zip disks. 100 megs, guys. You guys don't want to call in. That's fine, because you know what? We're going to move on. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games, more recent games, for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them. Sacramento, you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. Hey, good attendance.
And I was even on time this time.
I know. It was one of those nights where actually I was out running other errands, and even I wasn't here at 5 o'clock. Usually I'm here and good to go right at 5 o'clock, but it was cutting it close tonight.
Yeah. So have you had any Nintendo stuff stolen, or you still know where all your Nintendo stuff is? Because it's getting stolen a lot.
If anything, I've probably lost it in my own house somewhere, in like my cartons of classic controller wires and things that I just can't bear to throw away. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think I have good tabs on everything. I mean, yes, my NES Classic Mini was stolen. I need to get a new one post haste because someone sent me one.
Are they even making those anymore?
Depends who you want to believe. My take on that whole thing is that if anything, maybe they did stop production of it to address some of the issues with all these exploits we've been talking about the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Because obviously they can't update them with a firmware update or anything because the thing doesn't connect online.
Right, they're going to patch Linux.
Well, I don't know. That's my thought, is that maybe they stopped to address some of these issues, but their thought is that they're not planning on pulling it completely.
I'm not into this NES Classic Mini, but I mean, I hope they figured this out, because I'm if they do an SNES Classic, I'm going to run over some people.
Well, apparently the Super Nintendo is in the NES Classic, according to some of these hacks.
Well, you can add an emulator for that.
Yeah. This is Linux.
Yeah. So, and because we don't know if the Switch is going to even have a virtual console, because they're not saying, because, you know, they don't know anything, because it only comes out in, what, 12 days?
Yeah, it's a little concerning, to say the least. But Nintendo is completely relying on the hype at this point in Zelda, and I kind of stand by one of the early things I said earlier on, is that the true launch of the Switch is this holiday, They're just trying to sell what they can to recover the fiscal year on the strength of Zelda. And I have a feeling they're not talking about Virtual Console, because the pure matter is it's not going to be out until over the summer in preparation for the holiday. I think that's where we're at this point.
So why are we getting this? Why are we getting this?
That is a great question. I think a lot of people should be asking right now. Is the games on it that you want to play? Is it fear over the fact that you won't get one if you get one now? If you don't get one now? I don't know. I mean, is 1-2 Switch a system seller for you?
The Zelda game, it's going to be on Wii U.
Yep.
The other game I want to play at launch, I Am Setsuna, is already out on Steam and PS4.
Yep.
So why am I getting one?
Well, now, to be fair, you know, and ActF brings us up in chat, you know, then we start to get into Splatoon 2 over the summer. And by that point, we should also have Mario Kart on the Switch, which I think the nature of the Switch system is going to make the Mario Kart a better deal than it was on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So those things kind of sweeten the pot a little bit. But, you know, they're not here at launch, although I guess we do have the Splatoon test fire. So if the Splatoon test fire is a thing that's going to be happening in late March, then clearly they have a way for you to download things. Because you're going to have to be able to download this test fire.
Well, and I know that I Am Setsuna is a digital title.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, can I go ahead and buy eShop cards now so I can get it? But they're not even saying if the eShop wallet goes over. And I'm like, you know the answer to this. Why are you not telling us?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Do they know the answer to that? I mean, they probably don't.
Whoever's talking maybe doesn't know the answer to it. It's this weird era of bullet points.
Then I'm just going to have to speak to their manager.
That's right. I want to speak to their manager.
But I'm like, they don't even have a price for I Am Setsuna. And I'm like, it's coming out in a week and a half or 2 weeks or whatever. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to tell you how much this costs.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, say something.
Yeah.
If you see something, say something. So look at the specs and tell us the specs.
It would be nice to have a direct next week, but I'm not going to hold my breath at this point. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think everything you fear about the Switch is true. Nintendo's giving us nothing to believe otherwise at this point. So,
fake console news at this point.
It's fake console news. At this point, though, no, I mean, you know, and I know there's a lot of Nintendo fans out there that don't like to hear it. And there's probably a lot of folks that are super hype about Zelda and being able to play it on the go. Awesome. If that's you, awesome. Great. Get the Switch. It's going to be awesome. But I think for a lot of people that are having hesitations, you can't look at them and say your hesitations are unjustified. Mm-hmm. They're not. Nintendo's being shady.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm interested in some of the games, you know, like I'm interested in the snipper clips and stuff like that. So I'm still going to get it on day one. But I'm like, why am I doing? Oh, it's because I do the podcast. Like, that's how I'm rationalizing it.
Yeah. And I'm a consumer whore. That's my thing. Sorry if I can't say that on your show.
See, honestly, I was more looking for the title Nipper Slips.
Stop it. Family show, Loki. Save it.
You got a show in 3 minutes. So so what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
We'll talk a little bit about mods. I finally caved and got Skyrim on Xbox One, mm-hmm. the Ultimate Edition. So not only do I want to talk a little bit about the mods that I saw there, but we want to talk about some new mod restrictions apparently that went in place. And it's not what you think. It's not like nudity and stuff. That was already there.
It's not. It's probably good. It's good that some people have set boundaries.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. Speaking about the Switch, there's a lot of rumors because Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest is going on in Europe this weekend, and they announced that Samurai is going to be a new job for the game. But also, Naoki Yoshida, the producer, was asked, would you put Final Fantasy XIV on the Switch? And I'm going to talk about why I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Because wasn't like the whole thing like about FanFest like when you went that everybody was excited because they were getting rid of PS3 support.
Yep,
and that might tie in.
Spoiler alert.
What do you think about has E3 sold out? I think E3 finally did sell out, but it was way longer than 10 minutes.
If it did, they never tweeted it or anything like that. You wouldn't know that it sold out. So, and apparently I can still go on there and register as an attendee. I looked while you were talking about it, but I didn't go far enough down the rabbit hole to see like if it was going to try to charge my card or if it was trying to sign me up as like a regular, you know, mm-hmm. GameStop employee type of attendee or what have you.
So, hey, E3 tickets may still be available. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, good luck.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. Look at this. I am ending on time and everything. Oh, the OL Army is going to be so happy that they're not getting delayed tonight. I will be back next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. And you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. The Facebook fan page is facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit feedback on the episode pages here at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. I know the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters. That's you guys. Thank you so much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Ronma, Sky, VHJSNXV, Bird, Doomplake, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, ActDef, Bob Coffey, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Come On Noel Gus, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fifth Dream, Fluke, Ikuma JP, Kaijudo, Kazen, Matt Cube, Mia, MXC, MXT, Presley, Raginator, Spiffy, SJ100 Matt, True, VidPower, and William Murderface. And before I start the exit music, because I see Ronmus in chat, ladies and gentlemen, Anime Jam Session Episode 300 is coming, I think, Tuesday night. It's going to be live. You may want, if you're into the stuff that goes into your profile at Vogue, you might want to be there. Anime Jam Session. Congratulations, Ranma and crew, Ari and Mako-chan, for 300 episodes of Anime Jam Session. Now I will start the outro music. And see you guys next week. Hopefully on time. Starting on time, ending on time. I should do this more often. Thanks so much, guys. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.